The following podcast contains explicit language and content that may not be suitable for some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the Gizspooky Podcast, where two married guys share stories of paranormal encounters, urban legends, true crime, and other scary things from around the world. I'm Andres.
And I'm Kevin.
And we're here sipping on our chamomile tea.
Yum. Whoa.
What the fuck?
Well, welcome. If this is your first time listening to us, welcome. If you've listened before,
what are you still doing here?
Welcome.
Why do you keep coming back?
I guess.
We're annoying.
What's been going on? How has your New Year's been? I know in the last episode we mentioned about New Year's resolutions. Do you feel like you're on track?
So, as you can all probably hear from my voices, I've been sick. It's been a fun time. I haven't been able to eat. Your boy is getting thin.
He is so skinny. I can't see him.
Wow. Eating soup.
Yum.
All I've been eating is soup.
Okay.
This reminds me... I'm sorry. I feel like I'm going to say something problematic, but... There was this one time... Remember when I got the flu when you were visiting your parents? Out of state? Outside of the state?
No.
I got the flu one time when you were visiting your parents, and I could not eat anything for like 4 full days.
Uh-huh.
It was like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. I went back to work, I think, on Wednesday. So I went literally almost 5 days with only being able to eat like liquid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I lost like 25 pounds in those 5 days.
No, you fucking didn't.
Yes, I did. My pants were fitting so good.
Oh, my God. Like,
for a long time, I'd be like, the best thing that ever happened to me was the flu.
Doctors hate her.
Doctors hate the flu. It was because...
No, you,
bitch. It's because... I don't remember what strain I got, but whichever one I got, if I ate something, I would feel so nauseous.
Mm.
Yeah. I would feel really nauseous, and it would mess up my stomach, and then I would throw up. So I couldn't. So aside from, like, they're feeling like there was razor blades in my throat constantly, I couldn't eat. So,
okay. Thank you so much for sharing that. What a beautiful story.
It was so good.
Sorry, I'm trying to keep an eye on the cats.
On the children.
Yeah.
Before
they start making noise again.
Yeah. We've been letting them sleep out of their room the last couple of nights. And
wait, hold on. Does everyone like know that they have their own room? Because I've told that to my like other people, and they think it's weird. Like, I told my parents, and they thought it was weird when they visited. But so our cats have their own room. Our house has 3 bedrooms. One of them is ours. Another one is the cats, and the third one is kind of like just an extra spare room where we record the podcast. But their room,
the guest bedroom.
Yeah, the guest bedroom. Their room consists of like 3 cat trees, beds, litter boxes, a treadmill, because I want to have a fit cat.
We want to have skinny cats.
We want to have skinny cats.
This is not a cat treadmill, by the way. This
no,
is
it's
a
not.
Human
it's
treadmill.
I'm just kidding. It's just there. But yeah, at night, because they would...
When they were little cats, when they were younger.
when we first got them. They would jump on things. It would make like a lot of noise. It would knock shit over in the middle of the night. They would climb on top of us. Leo would sit on my head. And we were just like, you know what? No, just put them in their room. So at night, we feed them. I mean, they're very well cared for. It's not like we abuse them for putting them up at night. But
they know nighttime is like their room time. They go to sleep in their room.
They close their door and they go to sleep. And
no, they do not put their paw under their door and shake it till we let them out or scream. No.
Well, at least not anymore. They know better, actually. Yeah. So in the morning, we let them out. But yeah.
Except if we sleep in and we take a little too long, that's when they're like, hello, the sun is out. Let me out.
Yeah, I feel like we kind of got them accustomed to like a schedule.
Yeah. Like, because by, I think like by 7:38, mm-hmm. they're like, okay, you've slept enough. But let me out.
Yeah.
These four walls are suffocating.
But yeah, we've let them out the past few nights and they've been a little well behaved. Leo actually woke me up yesterday. After he sneezed on my face.
Yum.
So I was like, okay, it's, I guess, time to wake up. Having cats is like having children. And I know, like, people that have, like, human children don't like that comparison. But sometimes it does feel like having kids. Like, don't throw up on the carpet. Don't bite your sister. Why are you on the fridge? You know, things like that. You know, things that you would tell a child.
Don't eat that.
Don't eat that. Stop. What are you eating? Yeah.
What's in your mouth?
It very much feels like having children.
Don't knock my cup off.
Yep.
It's weird.
So, that's why they have their own room.
Yeah.
To make a long story short.
That's why they have their own room.
Yeah.
So, we're getting ready for the move, you know, getting prepared. I cleaned out my closet yesterday.
You did. Did you want to save this for your episode?
No, because what if something else happens by the next time?
Okay.
Yeah.
So how did that go?
It was fun. I didn't realize. I was like, oh no, all these clothes.
Yeah, you got rid of a lot of things. Yeah. Like more than I expected, because I usually go through stages where it's like, I'm never going to wear this again, so I might as well like get rid of it. I've been holding on to shirts from like back when I was in high school, when I was a small, like, bitch, I'm a large now.
Yeah.
Like I'm never going back.
Or me saying, oh, like I find shirts obviously that I haven't worn, but they still have tags on them. There was a few of them that still had tags on them, mm-hmm. but they were like larges. And I'm like, I haven't been a large in a long time.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if I get there eventually, that's fine. If I don't get there eventually, that's still fine as long as I'm healthy.
Yeah.
And so I kind of just like went through and I was like, even though I got this one 2 years ago or last year, I don't want it. I'm not going to wear it. So I just like put it in the pile.
I mean, I think everyone kind of has those clothes in their closet where it's like, I'll fit into it eventually. Or it's like, it's my goal to eventually fit into it. But it's like sometimes your fashion sense changes. When you dress, like, changes over time.
And then trends change, too. So maybe because you have loose jeans that you're, or, like, maybe skinny jeans and you're waiting for them to come back around. Like, are you going to wait that long? I was going to say, are you really willing to wait that long till it cycles back? Like, what, 25 years from now?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, get rid of that denim skirt.
Are we Pentecostal in here or something?
To look at me like that.
Hi, Mel.
No, I'm just saying. That is not a drag. That is not a drag. We're not dragging, okay? But I'm just saying, like, some trends go out of fashion. Get rid of that denim skirt.
Yeah, there was a lot of things that I was just like, I'm not going to wear this anymore. I had, like, not even, like, a Disney shirt, but I remember when... I think it was H&M or it was PacSun did like a thing with Disney. And so they had like really nice stuff, but it had like Disney branding on it. And I found like two of those that I got from that collection. And I was like, I'm not going to wear this. And I put it in the pile. And I was like, I'm not wearing this. Put it in the pile.
Do you feel better getting rid of all that clothes?
Yes, because this means that I can lighter? This means that I can buy more clothes now. Yay.
That reminds me. I spent $160 on clothes today.
What?
I'm just kidding.
And somehow I feel like you're not.
I just looked at it. It's in my cart.
Oh, so it's lightly purchased.
It's pre-purchased.
It's pre-purchased, which basically means that this is us talking about it, and you're going to finalize the cart after the episode.
After we record, yeah. Maybe. Anyway, let's jump into
story. No, wait. I wanted to talk about, I don't know if this phenomena happens with other people.
Phenomena.
Yeah.
Who uses it's that?
Me, right now. Que Spooky Podcast, Andres. Hello? Anyways. So, I don't know if other people do this, because... And guys, I'm not trying to be relatable or anything, right? But sometimes I put stuff in my cart on Amazon, and then I go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I go to sleep next to you. So beautiful. I'm like, oh, a little baby cherub.
Okay.
And then I go to sleep, and then I wake up at 3 a.m., and I'm like, wow, I really need to purchase that knife set right now that I have in my cart. It's like a realization, like mm-hmm. awakening. And I'm like, it was in my cart for a reason. I have to buy it now.
It's a sign.
Yes. And then I go to sleep, and sometimes yeah. I don't remember that I actually purchased that.
And that's how we got our knife set.
And that is exactly how we got our knife set that we've had for a while now.
Okay.
That's also how we ended up with the slow feeding bowls for the cats.
Okay. Yeah. I see that.
Some of the things in this house are purchased that way.
Thank you.
Anyways, let's get into the story. What are you going to tell us about?
Okay. So I have actually had this. I started this like months ago when I wanted to cover this, but I didn't know what direction I wanted to go in. So I literally had it half done. Okay. A mummy is an embalmed and prepared corpse with the intention of preserving it for as long as possible, usually for religious purposes. The city of Guanajuato in the state of Guanajuato, Mexico, is one of those locations where it happens naturally.
Are you going to tell us about the Guanajuato mummies?
So close. Do you want to try again?
The Guanajuato?
Yeah. So I'm covering Las Mumias de Guanajuato, or the Mummies of Guanajuato. It's a city in Mexico. So what kind of I did with the Catacombs of Paris, just kind of looking at the map.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at the map of El Museo de las Momias, and around it, it looks like there are elotes cocidos, mariscos, El Café de las Momias, which is a cafe.
Sold. I'm going.
Look at what I found, though. It's a pastry shop called La Casita de Leo. Leo like our cat.
Aww.
They're still open as of recording right now. It looks like there's a carniceria. I always thought it was so funny when, like...
Show me the street view.
Well, I always find it funny when, like, stores in Mexico are usually, like, small businesses. And it's, like, what they sell plus their name. Like, Herramientas Kevin or Aborrotes Don Andres. Like, I always thought that was kind of cute. Do you want to see the street view, you said?
Oh, that's cool.
So, some YouTube videos that I was watching... Oh, this town is really cute. Some YouTube videos that I was watching said that there's a lot of vendors that actually sell mummy-themed food and, like, snacks.
Wow, I want some.
Just kind of capitalizing off of, like, the local attraction, I guess.
Mm.
Oh, I need me one of these. A tortilla holder. Have you ever been here?
No. I have cousins that live there.
I know we talked about Las Momias de Guanajuato before, and Midori actually said that she visited once. I was like, that's cute. Okay, so I'm jumping into the story. Sorry.
Okay.
So some of my sources are Atlas Obscura article, Amy's Crypt article, Momias de Guanajuato website, La Verdad Noticias article by Yulsi Magaña, a YouTube video by Luisito Comunica, a YouTube video by Dros Rotzank, and Wikipedia. Well, before I kind of start, do you know anything about this? Like the history or like any stuff about it?
Not anything notable.
Okay.
So I'm ready for you to tell me.
Yeah, I hope you learn something. I don't know. So in 1833, the city of Guanajuato and the state of Guanajuato was struck by a cholera pandemic. The biggest cemetery at the time was El Cementerio de Santa Paula, or El Panteón Municipal de Santa Paula. Due to increased deaths for the pandemic, additional cemeteries had to be opened in San Cayetano and Cañada de Marfil. So they're just like extra cemeteries. The pandemic got so bad, so many bodies were being buried immediately to control the spread of the disease. There was almost no time for a funeral or a burial ceremony.
What the fuck?
So years after, in 1865, due to the overcrowding in the Cementerio de Santa Paula, the city government proposed a grave tax onto the living relatives of those that were buried. And I think I've talked about grave taxes before on the Catacombs of Paris episode. So if you had a relative that was buried in the cemetery, the government charged you to keep them there. They gave a grace period of 3 years. So if you didn't pay in 3 years, the corpse of your relative would be exhumed. If they knew that some of these people had died from a pandemic, why would they want to exhume them if that could, like, they can possibly be contaminated? I don't
know. Expose their bacteria.
Yeah. So this is where they discovered the bodies had been that were exhumed were surprisingly well preserved. So they, like I said, they didn't really go through a burial ceremony. So sometimes they didn't even have a casket. Sometimes they literally were like wrapped in a cloth and just buried. The bodies weren't decaying as they had expected, with much of the skin, hair, and nails still intact. Many of the bodies looked almost as if they were still frozen in time, looked almost like they were sleeping. There are regions of the world that, due to either their extreme dryness, extreme coldness, alkalinity, isolation from the elements, microorganisms, or a combination of these elements that can cause mummification. The mummies here don't actually go through an artificial mummification process like they did in ancient Egypt.
Artificial mummification, porque es una mamacita.
It's not for certain or agreed upon what the cause of this natural preservation effect comes from, but it is believed that the soil in the municipal cemetery contains almost non-existent levels of oxygen and humidity that prevents a natural and quick state of decay in organic matter.
Interesting.
The mummified bodies were stored in an ossuary building above the ground in the event that a relative did decide to pay to have the bodies reburied. Over time, the bodies started piling up in the ossuary, and by the late 1800s, due to the amount of mummified bodies that had intrigued and fascinated the local population, it was converted to a museum where people could pay to see them, and the practice of disinterred bodies over the grave tax ended in 1958. So this was, I think, relatively recent. So the first body found in this state was that of Remigio Leroy, which was a French physician that died during a visit in Guanajuato in 1860. He had been buried at El Cementerio de Santa Paula and then exhumed only in 1865. He was the first to be exhumed due to him not having any relatives in the area to pay the grave tax. In 1972, the museum and the mummies gained national attention after being featured in the movie Las Momias de Guanajuato, also known as El Santo, Blue Demon, y Mil Máscaras contra las Momias de Guanajuato, where the titular characters, all famous luchadores, fought mummies.
I remember that movie.
I never saw it.
It's an old-ass movie.
Yeah. I think this is how most of the Mexican population, like within our parents' generation, for example, found out about the mummies. Like, if you were to mention Las Momias de Guanajuato, they'll usually respond like, oh, like the ones that El Santo fought. Which I think I did bring this up to my dad one time, where it's like, have you ever seen the Momias de Guanajuato? And he's like, the movie? I'm like, no, it's a real thing.
He didn't even know about it?
I don't know.
So, wait, going back a little bit. So, like, let me get this straight.
Yeah.
You had to pay to have your family stay buried. Mm-hmm. If you didn't pay in 3 years, they'd put them in an ossuary.
Yes.
And eventually that ossuary actually became a museum where people paid to go see those bodies.
Yeah.
So either way, they got paid.
Yes.
Damn.
And they were like, you know what? You want to see them? Give me $5. I don't know.
So you literally had to pay to see your relatives if you didn't pay long enough.
See, for something like that, I don't know. Like, I don't know if maybe they would just waive the fee to go see your relative, but then again, I think it's kind of fucked up to even unbury them. I don't know.
That is a good strange questions. Situation.
So now for the scary shit. When the bodies were first set up as display for the public, visitors were at first allowed to touch the mummies. The building was literally an ossuary above the cemetery, so all of the bodies were disorganized and kept side to side next to each other. There was no protective glass case around them like there is today. some guests would often break off pieces of the mummies to keep as souvenirs. And we've talked about, you know, taking things from the dead that don't belong to you,
mm-hmm.
like the rocks from Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most well-known stories that happened at the museum at this time was about an older woman. She had arrived at the museum a little before it was scheduled to close to avoid the large crowds. Many of the people still there were on their way out or finishing up their tours. The mummies made her uncomfortable, and she felt that the more she walked, the corridor separating the mummies grew smaller and colder. She adjusted her black shawl she had over her shoulders and stopped in front of a mummy to observe the skin, something that unsettled her greatly. She quickly turned around towards the direction she came in, only to feel a sharp tug on her shawl. When she turned around, her shawl was in the hand of a mummy that she was observing. So the video that I was watching described it as sujetándole el chal con esa mano corrompida por la muerte, which translates to holding her shawl with a hand corrupted by death. See, even hands are corrupted in Mexico. It's not just the politicians.
What the fuck? Oh my God.
So this gave her such a shock that it actually gave her a heart attack and put her in cardiac arrest. She was later found dead by security sometime later with the mummy lying next to her. What had actually happened was that she had turned so quickly that it caused her shawl to get stuck on the mummy's hand, and what she saw made her think that it had come back to life. So the legend goes that she was buried at a local cemetery, but later unburied 5 years later and put up in the museum.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. I think that's just a legend, so it's not like...
No, I believe it.
For sure agreed upon, but that would be kind of fucked up. It's for sure. It's like, I don't know. Many visitors to the museum claim that some bodies are so well preserved, like I mentioned earlier, that some look as if they were sleeping. On one occasion, someone being buried alive actually happened. Ignacia Aguilar was a woman who suffered from catalepsy, which is a disorder categorized by a sudden trance or seizure with a loss of sensation accompanied by rigidity of the body. Her condition made her heart appear to stop and made her appear dead. As she grew older, each cataleptic episode lasted longer than the last, until on one incident it lasted almost 72 hours. Her relatives found her and believed her to be dead and buried her. When she was eventually exhumed 5 years later, instead of her arms being crossed, like across her chest, as it was customarily done, her hands were covering her face and she appeared to be in a state of shock. The spirit of a woman has been seen roaming around the museum, and due to the manner that Ignacia died in, some believe this is to be her spirit in a state of unrest.
Mm-mm.
One section of the museum is called Los Angelitos, or the Little Angels. So this is where the museum keeps the mummies of children. If that wasn't disturbing enough, the mummies are accompanied by photos of them and their families taken a bit after they had died. So I know this was like kind of, I don't want to say a trend. What's another word for it? It was like a custom.
Mm-hmm.
Like during, like centuries ago, when someone would die, like they would take pictures of them to make them look like they were sleeping. I saw this in the movie The Others. That's how I know about it.
Mm.
That movie, The Others, was honestly one of the greatest movies of our generation. It was so good. But that's how I found out about it. Like, if someone passed away, they would take pictures of them. And it would just look like they're sleeping. But that was, like, tradition, I guess. So that's what they have. Like, they have little mummified bodies with the pictures of the baby that had just died with the families. And they look very professionally done. So I'm like, okay.
Didn't that creep you out a little bit to know that that person was dead and they were taking yes. pictures with them?
Yes.
That makes me very uneasy.
So this exhibition claims to have the smallest mummy in the world, that of a fetus from a pregnant woman who passed away during the cholera pandemic. Employees at the museum report feeling a strange magnetic-like sensation when entering this area, and claim that the feeling ends when they approach the mummy of the fetus and its mother. One security guard claims that she heard her speak, and that's how she knows the fetus mummy is named Lupita. In other parts of the museum, employees, security guards, and visitors report hearing footsteps, especially after hours, when no one should be there. They report hearing whispering of their names or without being able to discern exact words. They claim to feel as if the mummies watch them and that their eyes follow them throughout the rooms. Most unsettling is that both employees and visitors claim to hear the sound of a crying baby with no discernible source in the section of Los Angelitos when no baby is present. One of the most talked about unexplained occurrences happened to a security guard late at night. They heard noises coming from the exhibit, so they thought maybe some teenager decided to try spending the night at the museum as some type of prank, because this was happening like after hours, after everything had been closed down.
Do you know how recent that was?
No. Why?
No, that's okay.
Oh. Most of these, I feel like, especially this one, I feel like it may have been like a legend, maybe. Because it didn't really give me exact names. Like, I think it didn't even specify whether it was male or female. That's why I'm using, like, they.
Mm-hmm. I guess in my mind, I was just like, TikTok trends. Like, this is modern, but this probably was based off of something that happened like 40 years ago.
2004.
40 years ago.
Yeah. 40 years ago. 2004. Everyone stopped to look at the calendar and they're like, what did I miss? So they heard noises coming from the exhibits. So they thought maybe like some teenager decided to try spending the night at the museum as some type of prank. They headed towards the part of exhibits where the sound was coming from, only to find one of the glass showcases was empty, with the mummy no longer being there.
What?
They began to panic and quickly spun around with their flashlight in hand, until they noticed the silhouette of a person standing at the end of the corridor. As their eyes adjusted to the darkness and the light of their flashlight, they noticed that it was a mummy at the end of the corridor and it was slowly walking towards them. The security guard ran as fast as they could and never returned to the museum. And I think they refused to, like, take a step into it
again. That kind of reminds me of that video that came out recently of El Reino Mágico, where White was, like, out off in the distance. Like, the statue was walking.
Yes.
I don't know why that gave me, like, Reino Mágico vibes.
We can talk about it after my case. But okay. Yes, I completely forgot about that. So, as mentioned before, the Cementerio de Santa Paula is attached to the museum. So, security guards have reported seeing a young girl run around both the museum and the cemetery late at night, and they've reported seeing shadow figures slowly walk around between tombstones. Today, this is the largest exhibition of mummies in the entire world. It costs less than $5 USD to get in, and the museum contains a total of 111 mummies, mostly women and about 20 children, but only 59 of the total mummies are on display. The same security guard who claimed that the mummies speak says that each of the mummies has their own life story and that they remember that they used to be living people. She believes that the spirits that reside in the museum and the accompanied cemetery are not evil or malignant, but rather they are misunderstood spirits unable to understand what they're experiencing. The museum's website states, "Aquí, honrar la muerte es darle sentido a la propia vida," which translates to, "Here, honoring death is to give purpose to life." And that is my case. The end.
That was interesting.
I feel like it wasn't long, like my other cases. It was interesting. Yeah, but it was interesting, and I wanted to cover it.
It's definitely sounds like a tourist destination, or like a destination if you're going to go to Mexico. Mm-hmm. Especially because Guanajuato is beautiful, first of all. Mm-hmm. Second of all, I would wager to say that that's kind of like the New Orleans of Mexico because of like the crypts and stuff and the mummies, like the display.
Yeah, kind of. I would say that. I don't know. Maybe we should ask Midori and see how she liked it.
All I remember that when my cousins came to visit in Durango from Guanajuato, we played a game about mummies giving us special powers from the mummy crypts.
Oh my God. So it's like a thing. It's like a cultural thing.
Yeah.
Like,
That or it might have been that Nickelodeon or Disney show of that little boy that's a...
What show?
Pharaoh. You never watched that show?
No.
He's like a little boy and he opens like a... I don't remember. Like, he opens a crypt or something and then he... Mummies come back to life to protect him. Because he's like the reincarnation of a pharaoh. Mm-hmm. And they can kind of transform into like these scarab armors and fight. Okay. It was kind of like animated Power Rangers a little bit. I love that show.
Okay. Maybe we'll look into it. Thank you.
It's very interesting, but I always kind of figured that that was why we played that instead of...
Not the mummies?
Yeah, but, I mean, it could be something else, but it was very interesting.
Yeah.
Now, Reino Mágico, what were we going
to
say?
Okay, sorry. Anything else you wanted to add to my case?
No, that was it. Thank you. That was very interesting.
Okay. So, yes. Reino Mágico. So, we covered it in a previous... did I cover it?
Yes, because I did not do it.
Yeah, I covered it where we talked about Reino Mágico, which was an abandoned amusement park in Veracruz, Mexico, that it had a lot of statues made of these old fairy tales, one of them being Snow White. And where did we see it?
Where did we see what?
That video.
TikTok?
Yeah, I think it was on TikTok, but we also saw it on like Frostmare TV on YouTube and Nuke's Top 5.
And Bizarrebub?
Bizarrebub, yeah, it might have been on that one. I'm just like giving people options in case they want to look at it themselves. But there was a, I think it was like two guys that went into Reino Mágico, which is now abandoned. And I guess they're not allowed to go in. Not
really
allowed, yeah. But in one of the videos that was recently posted, a guy, like, he records the Snow White, like, up close. And he's like, huh, okay. And then they, like, keep going. And they're, like, walking around the park. And then, like, further down the road, it looks like that statue walking by itself.
Yeah, but they think it's the security guard at first.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, mira el guardia. And he's like, no way, no
sé. They're like, no, that's not.
That's not.
And it looks so fucking scary because they run after it. But by the time they get to it, it had already like gone behind a wall. But when they go around that wall, the statue's standing right there.
She's like, hello.
And like, it's a statue. Like, it's not. So I'm just like, how the fuck did they, even if they were to fake it, even if they wanted to fake it, it's like, how would they have been able to do that? There was no way to edit something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Thank you for reminding me about that.
No problem. Last episode, I asked around any of our primos, primas, and primas that have interesting pets. And our primos, primas, and primas sent in some very interesting things.
Let's gore.
I didn't get as many responses as I would have liked, but that's okay. Esme, our prima, sends us that she has a chinchilla named Coco. Michi, with a cat named Gorda, a perro, and his name is Chapel because he likes to dig holes and run away. So I thought that was super cute. So thank you for sending that in.
And I hope it's okay that like we're sharing this. Like,
yes,
it's just for fun.
And we had a prima that sent in a story. She says, I have guinea pig fur babies. I love how you talk about your fur babies because I talk to them and about my fur babies the same. They can be such assholes. We have one who we have no idea where he got the strength, but he was able to lift himself out of his habitat and had his fun with our female piggies. And now we have a whole family of 8 piggies. To be more specific, we had only had 2 females and 2 males in the beginning, and then we had the litter of 4. We love them all, but couldn't believe this chamaco. I hope the holidays were good to both of you. Very cute. Thank you.
Oh.
So he escaped. I think she said his name was Houdini, I want to say, because he escaped.
That's cute.
I don't think I took the screenshot of the name. And then we have a prima named Paulina that says that she has a bearded dragon. And I thought that was really interesting.
Oh.
So thank you for sending us your really interesting pets.
I saw that one, actually.
Yeah. Damn. La primita Paulina.
Oh my god.
Paulina Rubio.
She and her grandmother era with the way that her guinea pig had babies.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I saw that, like, they named the dog El Chapo. That's smart. And also, dogs that dig holes, why? Why?
Yeah.
Someone was like that I know. Who was it?
Like they dug holes?
No, the dog. The dog.
Like a person dug a hole?
Like someone we know had a dog that did that. Who was it?
I don't remember.
It was like a gray dog, maybe?
A gray dog. Spartan?
Who the fuck? No, 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 no. No, it wasn't him. Never mind. Disregard. Just
okay. Continue. So what do you have for your palate cleanser? I just wanted to add that first really quick.
Well, that was cute. Do you remember when our smoke alarm went off on that one episode? And people were not having it.
Or when it was running low on battery.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. And everybody wanted to Venmo us because they were like, we couldn't fucking do it this episode.
They're like, I can't do it. I can't stand
it. Damn. Our Primo,
I'm not going to make it.
We got fucking roasted. It was so funny,
they're
though.
They're like, hey, broke bitches, do you need some money for batteries, bitch? And I'm like, huh?
They were like, can you please get your it fixed before the next episode? Because I'm done listening to you motherfuckers if it's not.
And I was like, okay, yes, we'll take care of it. I remember I posted an update on our story. I fixed it. And there was a lot of individuals that were like, thank God.
We had a lot of traffic on that post.
Yeah. A lot of likes. On a more serious note, Gypsy Rose. Uh-huh. Do you know her?
My.
We covered her in an episode in Spanish because I felt like it wasn't really that well known in Spanish.
Yeah.
Isn't
that crazy that we covered it and now she's out?
Yeah. Well, I think that was like the first episode we covered in Spanish.
Yeah. Pretty sure.
So, Gypsy Rose. So, I didn't really mention it at first when we found out the news that she was coming out. Mainly because I wanted to see what she acted like. And the way she acted was kind of the way that I was fearing she would act. So, sometimes, especially when you're so high profile like that and you come out of prison, you either go one or two ways. You either hide and then just kind of fade into obscurity and continue your life. Or the other way, where you're on The View and you're being interviewed by, like, news stations and kind of treated as a celebrity, which I'm like, that's I understand that she was a victim, but she was also, like, we know what she did. So yeah. It's like, why are we treating her like a celebrity about this?
Let
her return back to normal.
I get why she was on The View,
because
there are people that are saying that she's like, I didn't do the right thing. Like, she's like an advocate for, like, don't do this.
Yeah.
Find a better way. Like, abuse is, like, you know. But, like, the amount of people that were, like, posting her in memes and stuff, like her eating at their restaurants and stuff like that. And I'm like, that's kind of weird.
I mean, I get in that case, like how you said it, where she's like advocating for people to, you know, not murder, that she's like reformed. I guess I didn't consider that. So that is a good thing. But yeah, not the other thing. That's bad. Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, there was a lot of restaurants here in Oklahoma City posting her, like, photoshopping her into pictures and saying, oh, like, she came to my restaurant.
What the fuck?
And people were going crazy for it. I just thought it was really weird.
That's weird. Do people see how that's weird? It can't just be us.
Maybe we're just old.
That's what it is. Did you see that there were aliens at the mall?
In Miami?
In Miami, yes, sorry.
I was like, Penn Square?
Like, yes.
Nobody invited me? What the fuck?
They were waiting for you, girl.
Speaking of alien, Thierry Mugler alien fragrance, the best.
What the fuck? No, we're talking about aliens at the mall.
Sorry.
So yeah,
it's for women.
In case anyone didn't see it, it was in Miami. There were allegedly 10 foot tall aliens roaming around the mall. They were at Victoria's Secret, actually. But
what if it was just Giselle, Erika, and Sofia? They're in Miami right now.
They're in Miami. Yeah, my sister. Two of my sisters and my niece and my parents and my grandma are in Miami.
So. It was just them.
It was them. They were just standing on top of each other's shoulders.
Wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah. But no, there was a squad of police cars actually showed up. Supposedly, the official story says that there was a fight of, like, little kids fighting or something. But, you know, there's always conspiracy theories, people saying, like, oh, no, there was people reporting that there were 10-foot-tall aliens and that it's the government trying to cover it up. It's like, girl, what are they doing at the mall? They're on vacation. Let them live. I don't know.
They were just trying to come scope it out.
They're like, what's going on? What's going on over here?
And then they got back on their spaceship and left, and they're like, ooh, no.
They're like, not Miami.
Nope.
Not Miami.
Not Earth. Let's keep going. Although I do hope they enjoy the pastelitos, because I do enjoy myself a nice Cuban pastelito.
At the mall?
They sell them everywhere. Mm. And Cuban coffee? Hell yeah. Fucking delicious. Ooh, that like turnover with like guayaba in it and like cream cheese. Oh, so fucking good.
I don't want to take up too much of your time. But
my time.
Oh, sorry. I have like a few more things.
This is your episode.
So Kelly, friend of the pod.
Uchis?
Kelly?
Oh. Oops.
Not Cal.
I was like, does she listen to us? Wow. She
does. So Kelly, friend of the pod, shared on Instagram Mothman children's books, which I didn't know they had these. Did you know?
That is so cute.
It was cute. So thank you for sharing that. It was for her baby shower. Tunnels. Did you see that there's like tunnels in New York City?
Yes.
Which is fucking scary.
Yes.
There's something so fascinating to me about tunnels, like, and I think I did post on like an Instagram story of tunnels in Guadalajara, where I guess it was like an older part of the city, but they use it to like smuggle stuff in or something. I don't know. I feel like, and you, for a while, you were on this little thing about finding these like abandoned places in Chicago on TikTok.
What is it called?
Urban Exploring?
Yes, right? That is my favorite thing.
I don't know. There's something fascinating to me about tunnels, but like Chicago is a very old city. I mean, New York is as well, yeah. But it's like, I wouldn't want to go down a tunnel. I don't know what I would find. I just like watching.
It's just crazy to me because sometimes they'll go into like Urban Explorer and they'll find like a tunnel under like a Macy's, you know? And they'll end up six buildings away and they find a classroom that hasn't been open since like the 50s. And I'm like, how the fuck is this still here?
Like, did you guys forget something? Like,
the electricity's still on, like, yeah. Everything still works. And it's like, it literally has not been touched in like 40 years. And I'm like, how do we just forget, like, this building, like, people are literally walking around outside, like, 20 steps away. Mm-hmm. And this interior here has not been opened for, like, 40, 50 years. It is very interesting to me, also, the thought of you laying in your bed and somebody is possibly, like, not even a foot away from you behind the wall. Obviously, they don't know in your bed. Yes, obviously, they don't know they're in your bed. But there's a secret tunnel that goes somewhere else and it like is right by you and you don't even know.
Secret tunnel.
There's like this whole other city or like thing within arm's distance from you. And it's like, it's almost magical. I like magical shit. It's almost like not real. Like that secret passage in the house.
No, I see it.
Behind the bookcase.
I see it. Yeah. That's kind of why I said that like I find tunnels kind of fascinating to like watch. Like, I'll watch Urban Explorers and everything, but I would never actually go there. And I think that's what you were insinuating when you're like, yeah, well, if we go to Chicago, we should like look for these hidden tunnels. I'm like, I'm not doing that.
I just want to go
find, look. Accidentally run into like Rahm Emanuel's like old office.
Hell no. I just want to look for the entrances and never said I wanted to go in.
Okay.
I'm too fat for that. Could you imagine me trying to like shimmy in through like some little crevasse? There's no way.
Mm-hmm. The last one. So America Ferrera won the See Her Award at the Critics' Choice Awards. And did you see her speech? Did you hear her speech? What?
For a second, I thought you were talking about Ferrero Rocher, the chocolate.
America Ferrero Rocher? Yeah, you didn't know?
I'm with you now. Yes, I saw part of her speech. Yes.
Okay, it was so good. I saw it on TikTok, and to those that haven't seen it, I very much recommend. I didn't know she was Honduran.
Yeah.
I thought she was Mexican.
No.
She's been lying to me this whole time. She's been personally lying.
You've been like purposely looking away because she's very vocal about it.
Yeah. No, she's actually considered one of, like, the most influential people of all time, I guess. I don't know. I read half the title, okay? It was 100 influential person of something. But, yeah, she's an icon.
How about let's do a little more research, Mama?
No. That's the wrong actress. That's the wrong actress. Mama, let's research. She said that. No,
she didn't. She said, Mama, let's do a little more research.
Let's do a little more research. Okay.
That one time you said that in front of Yara, and Yara was like, Gina Rodriguez. She couldn't believe
it. But she said it like she was a fan, so I was like, what? Right? She's like, Gina Rodriguez. But she was saying like it was her quote, but it's like, oh, we got a Gina stan in here.
No, she was just shook because it's chronically on the internet. It's like,
oh, we got a Gina stan.
Yeah. It's like when I'm fucking at work and I'm like, James, what was that? What was that, James?
James, what was that?
And people are like, what? And I'm like, Wendy Williams reference. You wouldn't understand. Sorry. Moving on.
Trim. Well, I think that's all I have.
Well, thank you for that. That was very interesting.
But I really recommend people check out America Ferrera's acceptance speech, because it is a little longer than most acceptance speeches. But I found it very
insightful.
Very insightful. Yeah. I can show it to you later after we finish.
Okay.
So that's all I got. The outro. Oh, well, I guess thank you for listening. And rate us 5 stars so Andres can...
So I could
eat. Be nice to me.
So I can eat tomorrow.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Please follow us on Instagram at GetSpookyPodcast and on Twitter at GetSpookyPod. Also, email us any story suggestions or your own scary stories at GetSpookyPodcast@gmail.com. Special thanks to Taylor Turner for the artwork and Kyle Fields for the intro music. Don't forget to tell someone you love how much they mean to you. Bye-bye.
Bye.